Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective, and I am pumped. Today we have Omi Acosta on here, who is the head wrestling coach for Life University down in Georgia, coming fresh off winning a national championship, what some people would consider a big upset, actually knocking off his alma mater up at Grandview, but we'll get to that in a moment. Anyway, man, Coach Acosta, thanks for being on.
Hey, first of all, thank you for having me here. It's a great opportunity for me to share, you know, what wrestling is all about, so thank you.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, your background is awesome. So looking at it, you came from a great high school program. You were JUCO national champion, NEI national champion. And then now as a coach, you won a national championship. But for those listening who don't know you, like, let's go back, man. Tell me like where you grew up and then maybe how you originally got into wrestling.
Okay. Let's take it way back to 2004. I was just moving from the Dominican Republic to South Dade High School down in Miami-Dade County, all the way down south. My mom got remarried and we got opportunity to move to, you know, a new place, find new opportunities in, you know, in Miami. And when I first came in, I didn't know English. So I had the language barrier there. And I was hanging out with a couple kids that were not doing the best things. I mean, you know, in Miami is a crazy place where, you know, you could get caught up in drugs and all that stuff. So I was hanging out with the bad crowd. And then as the school went on, you know, I saw that, you know, South Dade was a pretty powerhouse in wrestling. And there was a friend of mine named Margarito, tough Mexican guy. And he just put me under his wing. He's like, hey, Omi, you should come and wrestle. And I was like, no, you know, I thought wrestling was kind of like WWE type of stuff, you know? So I was like, I don't know. But I did like to fight. So I was like, you know, wrestling and fighting, you know, it's kind of like he told me, like, hey, wrestling is a legalized street fight. You could go and beat people up and not get in trouble. I was like, oh, word, for real? Yeah. So then I joined the wrestling team. And since then, you know, I fell in love with the sport. I fell in love with the grind. I was on JV for 2 years at South Dade. Then my junior year, I was able to finally step into varsity. And I placed at the state tournament. I took sixth. And then my senior year, everything was going good. I was undefeated in the year. There was a tournament, my first tournament of the season. I broke my hand in the finals and I was not able to come back as I wanted to, and I ended up coming back and trying to wrestle off, and I lost my wrestling spot and I did not get to wrestle a senior season. So that was kind of detrimental for me there, because I didn't know what God had in mind for me. So I continue to work out, continue to get better at the sport of wrestling. And I went out and I was wrestling freestyle in Greco at a tournament. A referee came up to me and was like, hey, man, you got to wrestle in college. I'm like, really? You think I should wrestle in college? And he's like, yeah, you got to go out there and wrestle. You know, you move and you got what it takes. I'm like, okay. So then next thing you know, I started talking to my high school coaches, you know, Bamasita, Duck, and Chino, Coach Chino and Alex. And they kind of like told me, like, hey, man, you could go junior college. And from there, that's going to open a lot of doors for you. And then a kid out of Miami that I know, if I would have stayed back in Miami, I would have got in trouble. I went to a junior college at Waubonsie in Illinois. And I took off from there. You know, I ended up taking fifth as a freshman. I won JUCOs as a sophomore. And then I transferred to Grandview. And then I finished my career on top by being a national champ for them there as well. So it's kind of like crazy that, you know, that I didn't wrestle my senior year because I injured, and then I ended up winning two national titles in college. So I'm pretty blessed for that. And God did the right thing, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I love that, man. That's That's amazing to hear, you know, and I think that's going to be so inspirational for people, you know, knowing the adversity. And how old were you when you started wrestling?
I was 15 okay. years old.
Yeah. Yeah. That is amazing. So I had a young man, he might've been right around your age. Heck, you guys might've wrestled at some point, but Aspen Kimmick, he was all American for Midland and anyway, he started wrestling football for me. He'd never seen wrestling, same thing, thought it was like WWE. You know, we got him out and, you know, he ended up being a 3-time state placer and a college All-American. And so hearing, you know, when people have started late or adversity, you know, being on JV for 2 years, I know a young man that wrestled for us on JV for 2 years and then ended up being a state champion, but getting beat out your senior year and then coming back and wrestling after that. So you were encouraged by this referee to wrestle in college, but did it have any sort of chip on your shoulder, or even maybe not a chip on your shoulder, just extra motivation whenever you went to college to wrestle, knowing like, man, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do my senior year. Or did you just jump in there and just kind of fall in love with the sport more? Like, tell me what your mindset shift was whenever you moved into college wrestling.
So basically, it was just, you know, I felt like, obviously, I think I would have wrestled, I probably would have been a state champion. But, you know, I can't, you know, I'm, you know, coming from Miami, my goal, wrestling in college wasn't even in my mind. You know, if I would have been a state champion, I probably would have been complacent just at the time and place where I was at. So I think breaking my hand and actually was a blessing in disguise, you know, because it took me out from Miami and it put me somewhere where I needed to be. If I would have stayed back home, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, ended up going to jail, you know, got in trouble or not doing the right things right now. So, you know, being able to be taken away from Miami and going somewhere new to build, you know, my legacy was something that was crazy for me to think about. And then once I got there, yeah, like you said, I had a chip on my shoulder, I had something to prove. You know, I remember my freshman year, you know, I was, you know, just a freshman, you know, I lost a lot of matches my freshman year in JUCO, but every match I got better. Every match I was getting better. And then once I figured out what was my to go to things and what to do, that's when I think I became unstoppable. In my level, obviously. So just doing that made me, you know, gave me the mentality like, hey, I'm here to freaking wrestle. I'm here to fight. I don't care who you are. If you're a state champ, even better. I'm going to go and kick your ass. So yeah. It kind of just gave me kind of like some type of chip on my shoulder. Like, I got something to prove. I didn't do nothing in high school, but I'm going to show you who I am. And I'm going to show you you don't want to wrestle me again. So that's kind of like how I progressed throughout my college career.
Yeah, I love it, man. I have a very similar mentality. So, yeah, my dad's a Hall of Fame wrestling coach. And I had a good high school career, but I got hurt my senior year. And things ain't how I want. And then I got to go wrestle in college and became an All-American and kind of the same thing, man. There was a little extra fire under my belt because of that. So, all right, now, and I know you also fought some MMA. When you get on wrestling in college, did you go right into MMA? Did you go right into coaching? Like, how did you, like, what transpired after you finished college wrestling?
So basically I tried, you know, my high school coaches, they were fighting. So I always was around the gym with them, you know, rolling around and fighting. And it was the summer after JUCOs, I believe, that I decided I wanted to fight. My coach at Grammy was not happy. He did not want me to fight. He's like, oh, you should wait until you're done wrestling. So I got into the cage. It's just a whole different feeling. So I give props to those guys that get in the ring. There's some bad dudes. You know, it takes freaking guts to go in there and just fight. So I go in there, I get punched really hard. Like, you know, the dude got me, but I was able to take him down and then choke him out and I won. But just after that experience, I was like, you know, all respect to you guys, but I'd rather just use my brain and just continue to wrestle. I'm not like, it's not for me, but yeah. It's tough, man. It's a crazy feeling to be in a cage locked up to go at it with somebody. It's a whole nother feeling, you know, it's crazy.
Yep. So yeah, I train a lot of fighters and a lot of my former wrestlers fight. And, you know, we have a lot of those discussions, but okay. So at what point did you know you wanted to become a wrestling coach?
So basically I was in Miami and I went back back up north. I got in trouble in that summer for something stupid, just surrounding myself with the wrong people, you know, in Miami. So I got in trouble and then I actually went to school to get my degree in criminal justice. So I ended up getting in trouble. It wasn't nothing too serious. And I had a conversation with my coach and I kind of just fell in love with what he was doing, Nick Mitchell. Like, he just comes into the office, you know, recruits guys to, you know, to change lives for a better. He he's always just, he just looked like super motivating. And I was like, man, I want to be like Nick Mitchell. I want to do what you're doing. And I told him that. And since then, he kind of like helped me and guided me through, you know, transitioning from an athlete to a coach, which was pretty hard because in the beginning, you know, it's all about you. You know, you go in there and you want to wrestle, you want to beat everybody's ass and you know everything. So then he made me realize that's not about me. It's about them. And then that's when I fell in love with the process of making people better people by, you know, the sport of wrestling, because I know wrestling changed me. I mean, like I said, to this day, if I wasn't for wrestling, I will not be where I am right now. So being able to pay back and do that to you know, the guys that I recruit, and you get them in and they're young, you know, they make mistakes and you got them through it to get a degree and be better people. I just fell in love with doing that. And it's just a blessing that God gave me the opportunity to be doing this right now. It's a full-time job. So it's a blessing, man. It's just great.
Yeah. Yeah. And you come from an incredible lineage, you know, so I've had, I spent some time at the KWCA leadership convention. I did like a private leadership training in Illinois, and I was with Coach Mitchell for 2 or 3 days. And man, what a great guy, you know, and I had him on my podcast as well. And what he's done at Grandview is awesome. And then here he comes from under Coach Miller, who won 10 titles at Wartburg, who is an absolutely incredible coach. And who actually recruited me out of JUCO to Wartburg. And I ended up going to a Division II school after that. But I wish I would have wrestled for Coach Miller, because he is an amazing man. So the lives that he's impacted and changed are countless, right? What Coach Mitchell is doing, countless. And then now you're part of that tree, and then the lives that you're positively impacting, countless. You know, it's incredible. And wrestling is this like small fraternity, man. And like, we all know each other. We're all connected in some way, but almost all, like you said, a lot of wrestling coaches, and I did the same thing. I started out as wrestling my guys every day and whooping them. And then there's a point where you realize, like, man, like, I'm here to transform lives, you know, and it kind of transforms you as a coach. But most coaches are out here in the sport helping young men and women change their lives for the better. Okay, so I know that you were, you know, as an assistant at Grandview for a little bit. Did you go from Grandview directly to Life, or have you coached anywhere else?
Yeah, so I was at Grandview for 3 years under Coach Mitchell. Right after I graduated, I jumped into to coaching right away. So I was with Mitchell for 3 years at Grandview. Then I left to coach at the Coast Guard Academy in London, Connecticut. So I was there at the Coast Guard Academy for a year under Coach Bratland. He's a great dude. I learned a lot from him. That short time span that I was there, I really soaked in a lot and learned a lot from Coach Bratland. And after a year at the Coast Guard, at that time, I had a girlfriend that lived in Iowa. So I was like, you know what? I think I would just go back to Iowa. So I ended up going back to Iowa. And I coached under Mitchell for one more year. And then the position at Life kind of like, it was kind of a weird situation. I was at the Leadership Academy. And all of a sudden, they're looking for a new coach at Life University. And then the NWCA guy, Mike Moyer, kind of came up to me and was like, hey, I think you'll be a good fit for this position, because you're from the South and you want to go back closer to Florida. So next thing you know, I came down, I interviewed, I ended up getting the position, and this is where I am now.
Yeah, that is awesome. So now, how many years have you been at Life?
This is my fourth year going to this is my fifth season.
Okay. All right. So, and a couple of things about that. First off, you guys are in Georgia, and you know, Georgia wrestling is growing leaps and bounds. I have a couple wrestlers, because I coach for Wrestling Mindset, Dominic DiTommaso, Austin, who's a couple-time placer and a finalist, Austin Paradise, who just won state this year in Georgia. Those are a couple guys I work with directly, but I know just as a state, it is growing and getting bigger. And just in the South in general, man, wrestling has really taken off. And I'm from Oklahoma originally. I coach in Kansas now, but, you know, Oklahoma, Iowa, I mean, we're all, you know, kind of Midwest, like, hey, you know, we're wrestling people. And then of course you got the East Coast, you know, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. But man, tell me about wrestling in the South before we really jump into Life University. Just why is it growing and getting so popular and doing so well?
You know, I think first, you know, I'm going to talk about the South as a whole. You know, back in the day when I wrestled, you know, Florida, there's a section that's pretty tough, you know, Dade County. So, you know, we'll go up and wrestle people from all over the place. And, you know, Dade County has really good wrestling. You know, Central Florida has really good wrestling. And it's just getting better by the clubs that are building there and are getting better. Same thing with Georgia. You know, there's some great clubs like, you know, Compound, Arturo, you know, Level Up, Morris Fitness, you know, Roundtree. I could go on and on with guys that are actually doing the right thing. You know, it starts with the youth. If you want to get good at wrestling, it starts with youth wrestling. If I would have, you know, maybe in Dominican Republic or anywhere, if I would have known about wrestling as a younger, you know, wrestler, I would have been, you know, my outcome probably would have been even better, you know. So just having the ability to teach the youth, keep them interested in wrestling all the way throughout high school, that's the goal, introducing wrestling to people. And then, you know, in the South, usually, you know, football's king. Georgia's doing a great job, you know. Like, I think I saw stats the other day that there's like 18 guys from Georgia and, you know, wrestling Division One. You know, same thing in the NAIA national tournament. I think we had about 19, you know, representatives from just Georgia, and many more from Florida as well. So it's kind of cool to see that. And it just comes down to the club coaches and the high school coaches putting in the time, you know, putting in the, you know, making sure the guys are wrestling year round. And that's the product of what's going on right now in Georgia and the Southeast.
Yeah. It's exciting to see, man. It's exciting to watch. And, you know, you guys going in and winning a national title this year, the first ever college national championship for wrestling in the state of, you know, in the state of Georgia. So you guys being national champions, that's huge. I know not only is that great for the future of your program, but just building pride in Georgia wrestling, period. Okay. So Life U, I want to talk a little bit about it and kind of how you built the program. I got to first off say, like, you guys are swagged out. I remember a couple years ago, it's the first time I really kind of found out about Life, and I saw the singlets and you guys got the bright green on there, and I'm like, all right, man, I like what these guys are doing. But so whenever you're a head wrestling coach, it's not just about wrestling, right? Because whenever you're a wrestler, it's about you. But I mean, you know, you're focused on your strength, conditioning, your training, your technique, all these things. You become a coach, and now you're in charge of helping a lot of people, but you're a CEO of an entire program. Mm-hmm. Part of that is like the things that you do on social media, just having cool gear, things like that. I mean, there's all these little bitty things. Tell me about the things that you, and I know this is a fairly broad question, but what are some of like the staples, the things that you've come in and implemented at Life University that have really helped you guys grow?
You know, the first thing, I remember when I first got the job, obviously, in my opinion, we have the best colors in college wrestling. You know, that highlighter green and black, it just pops, you know? So I looked at Oregon and I was like, oh, wow, you know, Oregon is, you know, they're kind of like the same color wave as us. So I'm like, I'm trying to mimic what they're doing. So little by little, I started getting, you know, in the beginning when I got here, the singlets were not cool. Like, it just ran wrong. I was like, man, we could do so much better. One, we started promoting that we're in Atlanta. You know, out of all the NAIA schools, you know, there's not a lot of schools in a big city. So we started promoting, hey, come down and wrestle in Atlanta. You know, it's warm here, no snow, just beautiful weather. Anything you want to do, you could do it here. The airport's down the street. So I started, that's the first thing. Okay, location. We need to promote. The country has to know that we're in Atlanta and we could wrestle. So after that, little by little, year two, you know, started getting, you know, the singlets, getting the cool colors, getting the cool gear. And then year three, just kept going with that. And then as we got better and older, you know, I brought in a good assistant, Cole Mannion. He's the one that handles like all the videos and all that stuff. And I believe the videos, the social media, the graphics that we make are cool. And that's what people want to see. They want to see cool stuff, especially about wrestling. So we started hitting social media hard. You know, that's a lot of part of our recruiting. You know, if you look at our Instagram, Twitter, you know, Facebook, we're always dropping new stuff. We're always posting new stuff. And that's huge when it comes to recruiting, because right now, the day and age that we're at right now, all the kids are on their phone. If you're not evolving with the group, the kids right now, you're going to stay back and you're not going to get anybody to come to university. So I believed on our social media platforms, and this is the product of just constantly getting better year in, year out. You know, like you said, you know, being a CEO, yes, I have to be able to market myself. I have to be able to market my coaching staff. I have to be able to market the university. And that's how we did it with social media. So it's a pretty cool thing to do, because, you know, you watch it grow, you watch your followers, people give you shout outs. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I love looking at it. And that's, you know, a few years ago, the NWCA did a thing, and I wish they would do it again. I think they did it through Coy Cooper. But they had like a statewide competitions and national competitions. Mm-hmm. Or programs, like promoting their programs on social media. So we ended up being one of the top programs in our state and then placing pretty high nationally. It's huge. I mean, first off, the kids want to see themselves on there. The parents want to see their kids on there. What you do on social media is big. So if you can make, you know, you're making highlight videos and, like you said, great graphics and all those things. And you guys, your colors are, it's awesome. So I told you before we got on here, you know, I just bought one of your national championship shirts. And
hey, thank you, man.
Yeah, you bet. Can't wait to rock the colors. But okay, so let's go a little bit deeper. Tell me about some of the pillars of your program. So like for my program, like TCOB, and that was my junior college, Labette. We were, TCOB is what we did, take care of business. And like, that's a life motto for me. We use it with our program. Another one is GET. And like, we get to do this, but the G is gratitude, the E is effort, and the T is for toughness. Okay, so these are like pillars of the program, mottos or things we teach. I know you guys have Lucha. Tell me about some of those other, just some of those key pillars that you get your kids to buy into.
Yeah, so, you know, Lucha is basically the main thing. It's just, you know, what we want to see, we don't care about winning or losing. We care about max effort in everything you do in your life. So with the Lucha, it comes, you know, when you see the C, there's the C cube, right? So there's three C's. So that means, you know, to care, right? To commit and to compete. So we talk a lot about caring. You know, if you're doing something, you got to care enough, right? If you commit to something, you're going to finish it, right? And then if you do the commit and the care in that order, right, you're going to be able to compete. And so it's just basically care, commit, compete, and or vice versa, in any way you want to put it. And that's what we talked about from year in, year out. You know, it's just, hey, man, you got to care. If you show up to class, be the first one. Hey, if you committed to being a great wrestler, if you committed to be a great Christian or a boyfriend or whatever you decide, you better commit and do it right. And then if you do those things, you're going to be able to compete. But the cool thing is that you could apply that to anything you do in your life. If you, in the business world, if you commit, you care, you're going to be able to compete for a higher salary. You're going to be able to compete for this, for that. So it's just a motto that kind of like started. And Lucha came along just was wrestling was the first English word that I actually knew what it meant. You know what I mean? So Lucha was just like, oh, Lucha, I want to go Lucha. I want to go wrestle. That's why I tell my mom. My mom didn't want me to wrestle. And she was like, Lucha, no, you're not going to go wrestle. So that's like a key word that stuck in my brain and it had a vision on it. And I just put the vision into words and now it's just playing out with what we have going on right now.
Yeah. So, I was listening to one of your videos. You were talking to your guys before the national championships, you know, this year. And man, I loved your mindset, but you kind of mentioned it a minute ago. You were talking to the guys about, you know, hey, we're not worried about, you know, we're not thinking about the outcome, wins and losses. Like, we're coming out here to battle, to give full effort every single time, you know, win every position, things like that. So tell me about that, because I definitely believe in goals, but also I'm a huge believer in systems. And then like one of our things this year in this COVID time was win the day, but the word win, what's important now? You know, so we focused on like, what's important right now? What's this practice? You know, while you're wrestling, winning every single position, not thinking about the outcome of the match, right? We win every position, we battle the entire time. And when you do that, you're usually going to have good outcomes. You can't control outcomes, but you can control your effort, your attitude, your aggressiveness. So tell me a little bit about that, like how you're training your guys on mindset, thinking about wrestling hard the whole match versus like these, like I got to win or we got to win the national title. What's your whole thought process there?
You know, in the beginning, like I said, I've only been coaching fight. In the beginning, I was too serious on the guys. I was like too hard on them. And as I evolved by reading books and getting better, you know, trying to find ways to become a better coach, I figured out that we can put pressure on winning. We put pressure on what we could control, like you said. We could put pressure on going out there and don't worry about winning or losing. We could put pressure out there about going out there and having fun and controlling what we could control. So I noticed that the less pressure I put on the guys on winning and put pressure on just going out there and having fun and scoring points for your team, scoring points for your family, and finding a way for kids to wrestle for something bigger than themselves, that's how you get true winning. Like, that's how you're going to get guys to compete. And if we could go back couple of years, I never talked about winning. You know, I don't want to talk about winning. In the beginning I did, but then I got to my head like, hey, we're not talking about winning anymore. We're going to talk about going out there and scoring points. We're going to go talk about, you know, you be that guy, you go be Randy McRae, for example. You don't worry about that guy. Just wrestle how you wrestle and you're going to be okay. We don't even talk about winning. We're just talking about being the best representation of yourself on the mat. And that's what we want to see. We don't care about winning or losing, because winning is a byproduct of just going out there and having fun, and you're going to score points. It's not going to open up. You know, a lot of our coaches talk about taking chances. Go and take, you know, a lot of things, guys wrestle and don't take chances, and it goes into overtime, and then they lose. You know, go out there and take a chance. If you get taken down, who cares? Come back and take them down. So we just talk about taking chances and worry about the controllables, which is be aggressive, you know, do all that stuff. And then that applies to life too. Like, hey, You can't control if it's raining outside, but you could show up early to work. You know, you can't control what you know, what's going on in the world, but you control your work effort. You control how you do things and how you react to other emotions and things like that. So we're trying to like preach all those little things that hopefully will carry on to wrestling and to their daily lives when they move on.
Yeah, I love it, man. So it makes me pretty happy knowing how good you guys are. And those are a lot of the exact same things that we teach in our room to our high school wrestlers, you know. And I think, I mean, before the state tournament, I gave almost the same speech. I mean, I was talking to my guys and literally told them, go do you. Go do it. I mean, go be you. Go, like, whatever positions you're strongest in, battle to get to those positions. You know, open up, take chances. Yeah, we, you know, those are the exact same things we talked to our guys about. And I think I did the same thing early in my coaching career. Like you were saying, you may be focused on winning. Mm-hmm. But man, like, we don't ever talk about winning league titles or conference titles or state titles. We just put pressure on the right things, you know. And then the outcome usually is pretty dang good because of that, mm-hmm. you know. So I love it, man. And then you've mentioned a couple of times connecting, you know, all these lessons that you're teaching on the wrestling mat to life, which to me, like, if we're not connecting into life, we're kind of wasting our time because we want these, you know, these young people to be successful down the road. And then you also said, you know, you started reading books and stuff and growing as a coach. Tell me a little bit about, like, what do you do for personal growth? Because I love to study high level human beings. And you're one of those. So what are some daily habits or some things that you do to improve as a coach and just overall as a person?
You know, my day, I wake up, work out every day, you know, because it's a lifestyle, you know, like, you know, it's something like, you know, you can't cheat the grind. You know, it's a lifestyle. I have to be healthy. I can't be just, you know, 300-pound coach wrestling, college wrestling. You know, they're not going to, the guys see how serious I am about myself. So they see that, okay, Coach O's doing this. It's because he wants to get better. Guys come into my office and get books all the time. You know, I'm always reading. Like, for example, I just got this book by Coach Miller, the Do It Anyway book, which is, you know, it's going to be, it seems like it's going to be great read because I'm a close friend with him. I still ask him for advice. And one thing is, you know, that I think helped me a lot. I'm not afraid to ask for advice. You know, I call Mitchell, like he's competing against me, but sometimes I call him, like, hey, Coach, I need some advice. And he'll help me out. I call Coach Millboy or Paul Reedy at Grandview, they you know, or Bratlin at Coast Guard. And, you know, you could always rely on people that have been there and being in those positions. So I reach out and ask for help. I'm not afraid to ask for help. And I know when I'm wrong too. Like, hey man, I'm a young coach. I'm in mistakes and I need help. Help me out. So I'm always willing to ask for help for the people that I trust in, you know, and I'm constantly, you know, reading. Like this is the book that I kind of like use all my stuff to show the guys, called Motivation Manifesto by Brendan Burchard. And it's my favorite book because it just teaches you how to be positive and be mindful of the moment. And I'm just a mindful person, you know. I just worry about what I could control, and I have a strong faith with God, and you know, I just keep moving forward and keep getting better, just like how I was a wrestler and I wanted to continue to learn more techniques and all that stuff. In the same way as the coach, I'm always finding a way to get better. As you can see through my time here, you know, I became a better person. I'm not like back in the day, like not back in the day, like 2-3 years ago, I was like serious. I'm like, oh, we gotta win. And now I'm more like more relaxed, you know, like just enjoy the process and be mindful of the thoughts and the things that you can control, and then worry about that, you know. So that's what I think has made me, you know, more a better coach. And it gives me a little ease of mind. Before, I used to be stressed out like crazy. Now I'm more relaxed because I enjoy the process, and I believe in my hard work, and I believe in what my guys are doing. And you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, you know. Principles are principles once you know them. And I've said this on probably every podcast I've ever shot. You know, once you know those principles, you can apply them. And success leaves clues. Almost every highly successful person that I know, that I've spoken to, that I've met with, that I've been mentored by, they do a lot of the same things, you know. And you were talking about, you're not afraid to ask for help. My dad's a Hall of Fame wrestling coach, but I remember, like, we had a weekend off or something. Heck, I may have even been in college at the time, but I went to a, like, a kids club wrestling tournament with my dad, and think maybe one of my little nephews or somebody was wrestling. But I just remember, like, we're walking by this mat, and we stop, and there's like this battle. These two, like, 9-year-olds are just like getting after it. You know, they're pretty high level for their age. And this kid pins this other kid, and the match is over, and the kids walk off the mat. My dad's like, hey, hold on. And he calls the kid over and he says, hey, show me, what was that setup you did right there on top? He asked a 9-year-old. My dad's a Hall of Fame wrestling coach, and he's a technique freak. He's like a technique genius, but he was willing to learn, right? Because it was something he hadn't seen before. He hadn't seen that setup. And I saw him do that so many times. So for me, that's something I've always believed in. Like, ask for help, man. Find somebody that you trust who's been there and done that. And there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. Doesn't mean you can't do it with your own personality, but get that help. And then, you know, growing. Brendan Burchard, you know, you said that book. He's a big businessman. So it's, I think a lot of times people think like, oh, I'm going to study. I'm a coach. I got to just study coaching books. Like, do that, right? Coach Miller's book, I'm reading it right now too, which it's awesome. I texted him like 2 nights ago after one of the chapters. I'm like, that's a great story. But, I do the same thing. I study leadership books. I study businessmen because I want to study high level human beings. Like I said, success leaves clues. So many people that are really successful do a lot of the same things. You just pointed out several times about enjoying the process, which just makes it a lot more fun. So when you guys won the national championship, because I'm guilty of this, man, like, I guess I'm sort of like an achiever. So like, I'll achieve something and then like, I don't stop and like celebrate. I just move to the next thing. Like, what's next? What's next? So I have to make myself try to slow down. So whenever you guys won nationals, like, what were some of the things that you guys did in celebration?
You know, like, to me, it's still kind of a little bit surreal. You know, it's been like a week or so, or it's kind of a little bit surreal. I'm trying to soak it in, but I'm already focused on, you know, 2021, 2022, you know, so, you know, I enjoyed it. We, you know, we hung out with the guys. We had a little small banquet after the national tournament, got the guys food and, you know, had the guys do, you know, speeches and stuff like that. And then, you know, the year's not over until we have our actual banquet here, which will be sometime in May. So, you know, that's when we'll, you know, celebrate it, put it away. But I'm already in my office, you know, that Monday after nationals, I was already in my office working because I don't just want to be the guy that won it one time. You know, I want to be the guy that just continuously goes after. I want to be the guy that puts nasty in a dynasty. I want to be, you know, that guy. So with my team. So we're here working and we're going to recruit and we're trying to produce the same result. And there's just because we won, we're not going to stop. We got to make sure we make a statement on why we're here. You know, we're here to stay. So that's the goal. I'm here to work.
Good. Yeah. I love that. Cause that's actually a question I was going to ask. You know, sometimes people want to achieve a goal and then they get the goal and then they drop off. Right. You know, I've heard stories and I've actually had two of my athletes make it to the NFL, you know? And so it's like some people make it there, but that was their only goal. And then they didn't have a plan to stay there. Right. Some guys make it through the NBA, didn't have a plan to stay there. So you guys, okay, let me back up. Grandview was going for their 10th national title. And like you said, Coach Mitchell is a great coach. Grandview is an awesome program. And then you guys came in and you guys won it this year. They didn't achieve their 10th. Now, what is your plan to continue on? Not to just win it once, like you said, but to become that dynasty. What are some of the things that you guys, you know, kind of foresee in the future?
I think the key is consistency. You know, you can't talk about winning if you're not talking about consistency. So we just have to be consistent. You know, we have to keep bringing good recruits. We got to continue to fundraise. We got to continue to travel and see those type of competitions that will get us ready for a national tournament. So we just got to be consistent with everything we do. And just like my athletes need to be consistent with their lifestyle and different things with their wrestling and competing, I got to stay consistent with my coaching staff. I got to stay consistent with the goal at hand, which is to be the best team that we could possibly be. And if we're the best team that we could possibly be, and that is beating Grandview again, then we're doing it right. The goal is never to beat Grandview. The goal was to see how good life you could be. And that's what we did, you know, and then it's all about to seeing how good I could be as a coach. How can I challenge my coaches to be better coaches? How can I challenge our wrestlers to go out there and compete and have fun? You know, it's all about consistency. So if we stay consistent, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah. And I knew just in watching some of your videos and kind of studying that stuff that the goal was never to beat Grandview. It was to see how good Life University can be. You know, I knew that. And I think you said that in one of the things, like, hey, let's see how good we can be, you know, which is so huge. I don't want to dip into the trend because there's not just coaches and wrestlers that listen to this. I got people from all walks of life that listen to this, but I do want to dip into the training part a little. Tell me just a little like overview of like what you guys do as far as how many days a week are you doing strength training outside of season and in season? Kind of what are your practices look like a little bit?
You know, like I kind of break down the season into 5 different phases. Okay. And I show that to the guys just so, because it's a lot easier when you break things down to them so they don't see the season as a long thing, you know, because a college wrestling season could go from 5 to 6 months, right? So I'm trying to break that down for them so they know and understand like where we're at in the season. So phase one is in the beginning where they come in from for preseason, you know, a lot of outside stuff, wrestling twice a week. And then all the days we're doing running in the track, not too much long distance, but like short sprints and a lot of hand fighting outside. Then we go to phase two. That's when we start implementing our, you know, the moves that we want to see. You know, I don't want to change the guys how they wrestle, but I want to give them different tools so they could use what they already know. So we teach them elbow passes, you know, basics. We wrestle live, you know, different matches, different lengths. Then phase three, we start going back a little bit on showing so much technique, but going a lot more live and situational as sparring goes. And the practice go from being 2 hours long to an hour 30 or an hour, right? Now, once we're already going to postseason conference, et cetera, we go to phase, we were in phase three, we go to phase four, right? And phase four basically is we're going to study down what you're doing wrong. We're going to do one-on-ones on Wednesday, and then every other day of the week, we're going to wrestle. And actually, we do have weight training. I forgot to add that. We're always lifting 2 to 3 times a week the whole season. Obviously, we don't lift right before nationals just because, it's, you know, I don't want that. We focus on technique. So in phase four, that's where we get the guys ready, doing one-on-ones, you know, a lot of mental training when it comes to that. You know, we after practice, after hard practice, we'll turn the lights off and start meditating or putting ourselves in a happy place so we could, you know, put ourselves there, because you got to see it before you achieve it. So we're trying to kind of do that. And then season ends, and then now we're entering, you know, the phase five, which is off season. So basically what we're going to do now is right after spring break, we're going to wrestle 3 to 2 times a week. It's not going to be a long practice. You're going to come in, roll with your guys, wrestle life, and get out. So that's kind of like how I break down, you know, my wrestling programs, practices. It's in different phases. Mm.
Yeah, that's good. It makes a lot of sense, because if you look at the whole thing, if you look at it as a whole, right, 5 months, like, man, it gets real long. You know, and I've talked about this a few times, but I love wrestling, passionate about it, man. I got to thankfully wrestle all the way through college, but I would say that there was at least one time in almost every college season, you know, you're beat up or you have an injury or something, and you go home and you start thinking about, like, man, is this something I want to keep doing? And then that would usually last for about like 15 minutes for me. And then I would think, like, can I go to college and not wrestle, knowing I had eligibility left? And I'd be like, nope, I couldn't do it. So and then it would be like out of my mind. But when you start thinking about how long and how hard the grind is, and, you know, how intense all those, like, it can be overwhelming. But if you look and break it down, and I love that, man, like, I type every single practice. It doesn't mean we follow it to the T, but every day, man, my kids walk in, they look, they know exactly what we're doing. Coaches know what we're doing. It helps us stay organized. But I think the kids can break it down, and I think they want to be able to see those type of things. So it makes a lot of sense. Like you said, not only are you breaking it into phases, but you explain that to your athletes as well. They kind of know what phase they're in, you know, and I love it. I mean, that's a really smart breakdown, you know, what you guys are doing. Okay. So this, again, would be sort of a general broad question as we start closing this up a little bit, man. And I appreciate your time, Coach. You know, looking back, and you had some great coaches, what's one or two of the best things, the top things that you learned from your coaches, whether it was a high school coach or a college coach or whatever, a couple of things that just jump off the page for you?
Okay, I'm gonna start with my first coach ever. It was Balmaceda at South Dade. He's just a psychological mastermind. That dude will get you to wrestle for him, and he could, like, pick and point how to motivate each wrestler different. Mm-hmm. Like, he knew how to motivate me to a way that I could wrestle, right? So he was just a freaking genius, the way he just goes by the mindset. You know, he'll find something and he'll make the whole team to be motivated on that one little thing, and then we'll go out there and fight, you know, for our coach. So I truly appreciate, you know, how he was and how he treated me. Sometimes it was too tough, and I look back at it, I'm like, I needed it. You know, I was getting in trouble and stuff. So Coach B's he's a mastermind. Then technique wise, how I show technique, I learned that from Coach Duck, you know, which is Coach B's assistant. He's probably known as one of the best youth wrestling coaches in the country. He's the man. The way he breaks down technique and his patience, how he does things, it's just crazy. You know, I still go back, when I go back to Gladiator and I see him showing technique, I'm like, hey, coach, what you just did there, show me that again. So he's that guy that I'm still learning from. And he's just a complete badass. Then, you know, then I get to college and, you know, I meet, you know, my junior college coach. he was Coach Johnson and Coach John and Dell Groves, and it was just easygoing guys. You know, they just wanted what's best for us. You know, I never had a coach that just was like so nice. I'd tell him, hey, coach, I don't want to do this. Okay, that's fine, which is not good. But the way he just treated me, he treated me as a person.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was just something good to learn from somebody else. I never had a coach that actually did that for me. You know, he was, you know, I remember I got a ticket and, you know, I was like all stressed out. I was like, listen, we'll get this taken care of. You know, he helped me out and found me a way for me to make money to pay that ticket. And that's just something that kind of stuck with me. And I still talk to those coaches just so the impact that they have. And they're just good people. And then Nick Mitchell, you know, he's just a mastermind. You know, you can't really see how he feels. And he's a guy that I learned a lot from. You know, he's just the same guy. He's consistent with the way he says things. He's consistent with his training. And I just believed in him. And that's where I got kind of like my blueprint to be the coach I am today. And then the last one will be Bratlin at the Coast Guard. He was just really technical, really broke down the details, and was just a great human being. And he showed me kind of like the other side of coaching, because obviously at Granby, we were winning a lot. So I didn't get to see the other side of what happens when you do lose, you know. So we're at the Coast Guard. We're going hard. It was our both first year there. And we lost a couple duels. And I just learned kind of like, hey, just because we lose doesn't mean that we can't teach valuable lessons from those things. It's not all about winning. You know, there's more than winning. And, you know, I got all that mixture up, and that's what my coaching philosophy is right now. It's just I learned from all those coaches, and it's a mixing pot added with things that I think are better or not. And that's what coaching is about, figuring out who you are and how you could do that as a coach. And this book right here is a great book right here. It's called Knowing Yourself as a Coach by Danny Cooper. It's a pretty good book. And I usually have my assistant read this book because he actually asks you some deep questions to see, like, why do you do things the way that you do and why do you do them? And it's always a reason that I struggle with, like, why? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? So it's a good book to have, and kind of helps you write down your coaching philosophy and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, I've long thought, so going back to, you know, when you're looking at coaches, right, I can tell that you're one of those guys that builds relationships with your wrestlers, and you're one of those guys that built relationship with your coaches. I can hear it in your voice. I always say, like, you can't fake shape, you can't fake passion. Like, I can hear the passion in your voice, you know? And so I know you built good relationships with your coaches, and I'm certain that you do the same thing. A lot of coaches only coach how they were coached. They never kind of develop their own. And that's not a bad thing, unless, let's say, like, maybe you were a football player and your football coach yelled all the time, and now you're trying to yell all the time, but that's not really your personality, you know? So Tony Dungy, I read a Tony Dungy book a long time ago, The Mentor Leader. And after I read that book, man, like, it really freed me up to kind of be my own guy, my own coach, use my own personality. Because Tony Dungy here, he wins a Super Bowl, but he doesn't cuss. He's not a yeller. And I'm not saying I'm not a yeller, man. Like, I always tell the guys, like, I'm a little Tony Dungy. I'm a little Mike Tyson. You know, you just never know. I'm a wrestler, right? You don't know which one's going to come out. But after I read that book, man, I was like, man, I really want to use my style. But then take all the great things I learned from the various coaches I had. And I was blessed to have some, you know, tremendous coaches. Take those great things and utilize those, and then continue to learn and continue to figure it out as you grow as a coach, you know? So I love hearing that. I know you have your own coaching style, but having those influences from the other great coaches, that's so huge. And, you know, so for the coaches that are out there listening, or the athletes that are out there who may coach one day, these are such valuable lessons, you know. And it's and I love it, man. I'm writing down all the books that you've been telling me right here.
You wrote down the one you gave me, the Tony thing.
Yeah. Tony Dungy. Yeah. Dungy, Tony Dungy, The Mentor Leader. Yeah, because now as soon as we get off here, I'll go order those books and continue the same thing to try to grow as a human being and, you know, becoming a better coach. But okay, coach, I always like to end my podcast this way. So I'm going to ask you, and you can expound upon these as much as you want. You can just choose one, or you can answer all three, totally up to you. Okay. So I want you to tell me about a hero, a highlight, or a hardship in your life, and then why it mattered. A hero, a highlight, or a hardship.
Yeah, hero will be my mother. Single mother of three, worked her butt off to be able to raise us. And without her, I would not be here, you know, where I am right now. So my mother's an important figure in my life, just because she kind of taught me, like, grit. Like, you know, coming from Dominican Republic to here, You know, she was just working, sending money back to Dominican Republic while I was over there as a kid. And she's just a great person and a great role model. So my hero will be my mom. What was the other one? Sorry, I have short time.
Oh, it's all right. Highlight and hardship.
Highlight will be 2012 when I won my NAIA national title. And I'll mix that with the hardship. In 2011, I qualified for the national tournament. I was injured, but I wasn't doing the right things. I wasn't living the right lifestyle. And I remember Mitchell telling me, hey, Omi, you got to make some changes on how you eat. You got to make some changes on your social life. You got to make changes. And I wouldn't really listen to him. Like, man, I want JUCOs. You can't tell me what to do. So kind of that humbled me. You know, I went to national tournament. I got my ass kicked. And I remember that was the worst freaking ass kicking I ever got in my life. But I needed that. And next thing you know, that Monday, I'm already freaking working, you know, getting better because I did not want that to happen again. And I made the lifestyle changes that I did. I became a better student of, you know, not just wrestling, but better student in school. I worked hard and I graduated and I won a national championship just because of that hardship that I went through that kind of like woke me up and was like, man, Omi, you need to stop being, you know, stupid and listen to Mitchell. And I bought in, I freaking did everything I needed to do. I ended up on top. And that's pretty much, you know, everything put together, and it's just crazy, you know?
That's awesome, man. I love it. I love it. So, you know, when you run through the hardship and you learn from it and then you're able to bounce back from that, you know, normally if I was in my home office right now, I have a picture of Rocky Balboa right behind me, mm-hmm. you know, when he's at the top of the stairs with his hands up and, you know, he talks about, and there's a quote on there, but you know, how nothing hits as hard as life, you know, but it's mm-hmm. not how hard you hit, you know, it's, can you get back up when you get knocked down? And so life's going to knock us down, right? Life's going to throw adversity at us. And one of the things I love about the sport of wrestling, it's sort of safe adversity because it's just a sport, right? I mean, if you lose, like it sucks, but you're still alive. Hopefully you're still healthy. But man, we can learn so much from that because a lot of people don't put themselves in adverse situations in a wrestling. Like we're creating adverse situations all the time. And then you get better or you don't from those, you know, so that's so inspirational to be able to hear. Coach, this has been excellent. I could probably talk to you on here for 2 or 3 hours. Anyone listening, please share this with other coaches, athletes, people that need inspiration, and then take notes. I'll go back. I took some notes while you were talking, but I'll go back. I'll take notes because I don't want to leave it up to my memory because I'll forget, you know, so thank you for sharing your wisdom and your time with us.
Hey, thank you. You're the man. Thank you for inviting me. So I'm, you know, extremely blessed that I get to do this, and you're the man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. Now, where can people follow you and follow Life University? And I'll make sure I put this stuff in the show notes as well, but what are your social media handles?
My personal page is OM1 Acosta. The Life U Wrestling page, you can follow us at Life U Wrestling on every media outlet you can, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We post a lot of YouTube technique videos and stuff like that. So there you can see everything, our content. So we would love to get more followers, and that's what we need.
Okay, perfect. Like I said, I'll put all those things in the show notes so people can follow along and learn in the process. So again, thank you, Coach, man. It's been a blessing talking with you.
Thank you. You're the man. God bless.
All right, everybody. This has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up, and this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love, and God bless.
podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock, and rock. Coach P, who never stops.